Hello, this is a podcast from One West. The subject today is fraud prevention. Joe Buchan is with me to talk about it. Hello, Joe.
Hello, John.
So fraud prevention in this day and age, just how important is it?
Fraud prevention is really important because you need to stop it coming into your business. So fraud prevention could be just looking at your risks and how you might mitigate that. But it's very important to get on top of it before you start to lose any money.
And what sort of money is estimated to being lost to fraud in the UK?
Well, in the most recent report that the government have published, £193 billion affects the public sector.
That's a lot of money.
It is. And if we drill that down to councils, for example, that's around about £2.2 billion.
And what about small businesses and things like charities? Do they get affected by it too?
Yes, absolutely. So small businesses will actually get targeted for fraud through their normal supply chain and their employees. And charities also get affected by different elements through maybe the organisation or through their small shops on the high street. It can pop up anywhere.
And what are the main types of fraud? Just how broad can it be?
Well, the main ones that are reported all the time are probably familiar to everybody through benefit fraud. That's got a high number against it. But procurement fraud seems to be coming to the front now, and there's a lot of money wasted or lost through procurement fraud.
And what's the key to effective fraud prevention then?
Well, getting on top of it and putting controls in place.
That's absolutely right at the root of it.
Yeah, so if you can put controls in place, you've got a better chance of stopping the fraud coming into your organisation. So an example of a control could be in your payroll department, where you're checking your employees and making sure you're making payments to the right accounts.
Okay. What about modern technology, especially information technology and the importance of that?
Yeah, this day and age, we're more on our iPhones, our iPads and using self-service. So there is now an avenue where fraud can actually come through a different way.
And we hear a lot these days about cybersecurity, and at the same time, organisations are digitising more and more. So what does that mean for fraud prevention?
When you're looking at cyber fraud, you need to protect your data and your security. So cyber crime is computer-orientated crime. That's as simple as that. The computer could be used to commit the fraud or could be used as a target. So you might receive an email from a bank, but actually it's not an official bank. And before you know it, you've clicked on the link and all of your personal details are lost.
So the impression is that cyber criminals can be very clever and that they stay very close to technology advances. Would you go along with that? And should we be concerned?
We should be concerned, and I absolutely agree with you. So there will be hacking going on. There'll be identity theft and ransomware. So you would have heard a ransomware where we've got your data. We're not going to let you get back onto your data unless you pay a certain amount of money.
Bringing things back a bit, what about the things the public perceives are abused? Blue badges, for instance, what would you say?
Well, blue badges are very much something that we want to make sure the right people get the right badge and have the opportunity to use that badge appropriately. Unfortunately, people will pretend to be that person or come in with some information that perhaps doesn't relate to them and are using that badge unofficially.
Another area I want to talk about is care for the elderly and the vulnerable. I mean, people are living long lives and they need support and that need is increasing. What fraud should we be thinking about here?
So care and the elderly and vulnerable, the fraud that you can find in that area would be where you might have a care assistant who is just siphoning off money from somebody's account. It's very subtle. The person themselves is not missing that money. And then a family member may come across that at some stage that notices different changes to their bank account and money going, knowing that person's not actually leaving the house. So that's one way of looking at it. And there's been news recently where families are putting CCTV into their relatives' homes to basically film people that might be stealing from that individual. So that fraud comes to the most vulnerable as well.
And one thing which is a government initiative is personal budgeting. What issues does that throw up?
Yeah, personal budgeting is where you have got the budget to pay for your own care. And what happens is that sometimes you could be using a carer, but actually is that carer your other half, or is it a bona fide carer, or actually are you not having that contract, that care contract at all? So you're having money from the local authority, the council, to help pay for your care so you can stay at home, but actually you're not using that money where it should be being used.
Okay, and that puts pressure on other things, I guess. But what about things relating to housing?
Yeah, so housing fraud, there are guidelines of what you should be, you know, what numbers you score to get higher up on the list. That's fraud when you actually misrepresent that information. You may have a property somewhere else and you're bidding for a property in the local authority that you feel that you might want to move to, but you've already got a house somewhere else. That's another way of fraud. Subletting is a fraud. Some tenancies you're not allowed to sublet, but you could very well be doing that.
I suppose it also comes up in council tax, does it?
It does. It's a little bit more subtle in council tax, so where we're looking at discounts. So you may have a single occupant there that has children that are 18 or over, and that they're not declared. They would be getting reduction on their council tax by at least 25%. Well, actually, they should be paying the 100%. So that's a very subtle fraud of not telling us that their children are over 18.
And what other key areas in our organisations should we be looking at?
In organisations, most businesses will have a payroll team, and most businesses and organisations will have a creditors and debtors team. You've got money coming in, you've got money coming out. So you need to check who your suppliers are. Are they bona fide? Do they exist? Are you paying the invoices to the right people? And subtle changes on invoices could very well be where they've changed the bank account recently, but the invoice itself is all the same. So just take extra care and just make some checks. If you have an invoice and it's got a different bank account, somebody should have noticed that in your controls team, and give the company a ring. Just say, have you changed your bank account recently?
We've got lots of examples today. But I'm wondering, what does a good fraud prevention strategy look like?
It's important to have a strategy which sets the tone from the top in your fraud prevention. Having an anti-fraud culture is critical in the fight against fraud. So from the top down to the bottom, from the bottom up to the top. Having an action plan of how you're going to communicate the strategy is just as important. So having everybody on board so they know what to look for. Training is another good way.
If I wanted to implement a fraud prevention strategy, where would I start?
Well, here at One West, we can certainly give you a hand with that and look at a health check. So looking against what risks you might have. That would be one place to start, definitely.
Okay. And we've seen fraud prevention strategies put in place. Have they generally paid off when they're done correctly?
Absolutely. It's really important to have a strategy which sets the tone from the top of your organisation to the bottom of your organisation, and reverse that as well. So a lot of information about fraud comes in at your front end. Having an anti-fraud culture is critical in the fight against fraud.
What are the top four things you'd recommend for a fraud prevention strategy?
I would recommend a health check. I would check your policies are in place and working. And look at your controls. What controls have you got in place? And last but not least, don't think you're immune to fraud.
So it can come knocking on anybody's door then?
Absolutely.
Jo, thanks for that today. That's a really interesting overview of fraud prevention, how it's occurring and what to do about it. This is one of a series of podcasts that we're producing. I hope you enjoyed it today. Thank you for listening.